Coming today, today's our last week in the series called Christian Atheist. If you missed the first 2 weeks, please look at them online. You can go through iTunes, you can go through the app. And today we're going to be focusing on something really near and dear to my heart, something I probably struggled with and continue to struggle with, and something that you struggle with. But to open this, I want to ask a question. How many people have been hurt in here before? Okay, not now. How many people have been hurt with, like, really hard stuff? Not that your team stinks this year for football. See, we have a different levels of hurt, and one of the things is we get into these hurts in our lives that scar us deeply, that hurt us so bad that we never let them go. Now, one of those things in my life was before I met my wife. Now, my wife is the most beautiful woman in the world, and no one will ever compare to her. Okay, I just want to say that. But you know I dated before I actually met her, right? It wasn't like God grew me in a pod, hatched me in the pod, and said, here is your bride-to-be. It wasn't like that. But I dated this one girl, and I was in love with her as, you know, let's do the quotes, you know, in love. Kind of like the teenager love. You're 5 minutes in love, and then you really think you're in love, and you're going to be together forever, and then it kind of changes. And I was that. I was like, this was like lasted 6 months. This was it. This was my soulmate. You ever get to those places? And I was so in love with this lady, and I was like, man, we're going to be together forever. You got those. And I'm going to date myself here when this happened. I've been with my wife 16 years, and I'm going to date myself. She sent me an AOL email. And in the email, it basically said, you're not good for anything. You're worthless. I found someone better than you. It's a rip your heart out, slam it on the ground kind of thing. You're like, but I thought we were supposed to be together. You know how you get sappy like that? And then at that moment was one of the pivotal moments in my life when I said to myself, I will never trust my heart with someone again. I will never trust a female with my heart. And I, actually before, my wife has helped change that. But I did. I went to this 4 or 5 year spin where whoever I was with, I never trusted. And it was hard. And you know what I realized? I realized that we always look at our future destinations through the eyes of our past. Like somehow our past can predict what's going to happen tomorrow. Yeah, you with me so far? And because we're so far into the place in our hurt in our lives that we don't trust people, we don't trust things, so everything in life we look at it through the eyes of mistrust. Like, because somebody hurt me so long ago, I can't trust you because you're just going to do the same thing. Did you ever say that before? You've been there? Some of you guys are probably still there. Because the world is full of mistrust. We don't trust anybody. We struggle with trust. And let me challenge you here. If we can't trust each other, who we see and I can touch and we can talk to, how can we ever trust God who is invisible? How can we ever say, God, I trust you. God, I know you're going to come through me if I can't even look at the person I'm with and say I trust you completely. There's a parallel. If I can't trust the people that are the nearest, dearest in my life completely, then I'm never going to trust him completely. And we're struggling with this, and we're struggling with this. I don't know about you. This is something I still struggle with. You struggle with this today? So we're right on key. Here's what the Bible says. Psalms 9 and 10. It says this. And those who know your name, those who have given their life to you, those who have called upon your name, what does it say? Put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. You have not left, you have not forsaken those who seek you. And if you're somebody who says, you know what, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, then guess what? If you diligently seek God, God is not going to forsake you. God is not going to leave you alone. But you know what we do? We're just waiting for God to mess up one time so we can prove that why we don't need to trust him. God, I know you're not going to come through here because that way it's going to justify everything that I believe, everything that I'm going through because you didn't come through for me here. Can I tell you, just because you're going through something hard doesn't mean God's not about to come through. I don't know about you, but when I read my Bible, now this is not popular theology, but when I read my Bible, the Bible says that we're going to suffer, that we're going to go through things, that we're going to have to deal with challenges in life. But it doesn't mean we do it alone. It doesn't mean that we're anywhere alone by ourselves. Listen to the 1 Peter 5 and 10. And after you have suffered a little, after you have suffered a little while, everybody at that point would shut their Bible and like, I'm done with that verse. It's time to go on a different one. After you have suffered for a little while, but see what happens is this, is that God of all graces, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ. Now here it is. Here it is. You ready? Say, I'm ready. The Bible is so amazing. After you suffer, he says, he himself will restore you, confirm you, strengthen you, and establish you. He himself, after you suffered for a little while. Now, if you jump a few verses up before that, he's talking about the devil and how he's persecuting and stuff. And he's like, you know, just stand and resist them because the devil's like a roaring lion. He says, but after a little while of you going through something, after a little while of you going through some pain, you can trust in God to come through because he's going to establish you. He's going to take you and put your dreams as the foothold you can step on. He's going to confirm you. He's like all those things that you have been there and you've been telling people, this is what God's doing in my life. This is where I'm going. This is where I'm going. And everybody looked at you and said, you're stupid. There comes a time when God says this and comes in and says, no, you're not. Now your dream is going to defend you. You hear me? And this is what he's doing, because this is what, after you suffer a little while, he's going to bring all things to come to pass. But you got to go through a little bit of pain. Pain is character building. Pain brings hope. Pain brings patience. And all y'all, we all stink at patience. But it brings those things. But if that's the truth, if Psalm 9:10 says, you know, trust in your name because you have not forsaken you, and then you drop it down, and then you're going to confirm and restore and strengthen and establish us. Guess what? There are times in your life when you're going to struggle with trust, but if you just hang on, if you just wait, if you just hold on, God will come through. And not only is he just going to come through, he's going to take you to places you couldn't even imagine to be. Do you follow so far? Are you tracking? But it comes down to you've got to trust him. He's like, trust me. And you're like, no. Because I struggle. Because I've been through pain. Because I've been through heartache. And it's hard to trust God. It really is. Because I have trouble trusting people. Especially, let me say it this way. If you had a problem with your father here on earth, likely is you have a problem with God because he represents a father figure. God is not the person that he put on this earth for you. God is above that. God wants us as fathers to be representatives of him, but we are not him. So if your father hurt you, if your father abandoned you, if your father did things to you that no other father should have ever done, don't project that on God. Forgive and move on and let God establish what he meant to establish in your life. But it takes a little bit. You got to trust. You got to trust. What is trust anyway? It's the confidence that he who says what he's going to do actually does it. So when I trust you, it means I believe somewhere in my heart that you're going to do what you said you're going to do. Do you follow me? That's just trust. So as the core of Christianity, we've got to believe what God tells the truth, right? I mean, we trust God enough for salvation, but why can't we trust enough God for everything else in our lives? God, I'm so glad I'm going to heaven, and we'll sing I'm Fly Away, and we'll sing By and By, an old rugged cross. But God, I need to take care of myself, God. You with me so far? Because why? Because we struggle with trust issues. The title of this message actually, incidentally, is I Believe in God, But I Don't Trust Him. I Believe in God, But I Don't Trust Him. You know, in Christian atheism, we're talking about the series about how our lives and our messages must match up. How, you know, what we speak and what we do have to come in line together. You know, for the 1 Titus 16a, which we were talking about, it says, with your words you claim to know God, but that by their actions they deny him. Guys, don't give lip service to God. Don't do lip service to people. You ever see that movie? You ever see that show Lip Sync? Lip Sync Battles, I think it's called, where the people are up there and they're dancing and all they're doing is singing someone else's song, right? It's a funny thing at times, but the deal is I feel like that's how we are sometimes. We give lip service. We're just singing and talking about the Bible, but our lives never match up. Let's stop putting so much emphasis on what I say to you and start putting emphasis on how I live my life before you. You follow? Because, you know, Francis Assisi, you remember the guy who talked to birds and squirrels and stuff? The old monk? He said, preach the gospel always and sometimes use words. That's a powerful statement. Preach the gospel always, but sometimes use words. So our message that comes through our lives are so important. Matter of fact, guess what? There's a verse for that. Okay, you ready for this? There's a verse for that. 2 Corinthians 3:3. You show that you are letters from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human hearts. Guess what? You're God's letters to this earth. Do you hear that? You are the living letters that God is writing. So now I'm going to challenge you. What is people reading when they see your life? Are they seeing Christ? Are they seeing what God has done through the cross? Is he seeing that? Or is he seeing you more as a Christian atheist that may talk a good game, but your life is jacked up beyond all belief? And it's not even like you're taking a moment to really try to work on your life. It's like you really don't care. You're just doing it. But you are living letters to God. What is God writing in your life? And then what are people reading? What are people reading? Because we don't want to be Christian atheists. We want our message and our walk to match up. We don't want to be hypocrites, do you? Nobody in here would ever tell me, Pastor, I really want to be a hypocrite today. That's my life goal. I have dreamed my whole life to wake up and be a hypocrite. No, you don't wake up to do those things. You wake up and say, you know what, I want to be better than I was yesterday. You wake up and you say, you know what, yesterday was trash, today's going to be glorious. That's what you wake up doing. It all starts with trusting God. But here's the thing. We believe in God, but we don't trust him. And I'm going to tell you why. Say why.
Why?
Whoa, we're together today. This is awesome. Here's the thing. Because we want control. I got all the stink eyes now. We want control of our lives. We want to say, God, you can stay in your little corner at the cross, but my life is my own because I can do it better than you. Now, we don't say that out loud, but we live our lives like that. And that's where the trouble and the trials come in, because we want control, because honestly, we're control freaks. I is one. I can be one. Sometimes I am. Anybody else in here with me? Constituents? Control freaks right here. Everybody, some of y'all lying. Some of y'all lying. Everybody, some of you are like, no, I'm not a control freak. Some of y'all are like, yep, that's me. Other you're putting your spouse's hands up. Please don't say this is your spouse, okay? We're going to non-judgmental zone. But we're control freaks. Because we want control. We may have lip service, but we really need control, because nobody can live my life better than I can. But God's like, you ain't let me in yet. You have no idea what I can do. You have no idea what I'm going to do. But let me give you a little hint. God wants to do more than you can do, faster than you can do it. God wants to change your life radically in less time than you'll ever be able to do it. Do you hear that? And we sit here and we think, well, if I have this plan and this 7-step plan in 5 years, this is going to happen. You know what? I'll give you a personal example. I'm starting my own business, okay? Speaker, coach, author, things like that. And I was like, all right, well, I got this. And I've got plans. I've got books of plans. But God spoke to my heart and he said, if you do it my way, okay, whenever he says that, you can't argue. If you do it my way, this will grow bigger than you believe, faster than you think. You follow that? But I've got to now struggle with the fact, God, did I really hear you? God, did I not hear you? God, do I trust you? I don't know if I did trust him. I don't know if I did hear him. But he's like, if you just do it my way, your life will explode. Not literally. They won't have to mess through that, but it'll go really big. Right? Well, we got to clarify here, because that would be, that my pastor said, I'm going to die. I'm going to explode. No, I didn't. But here's the thing. We want control in our lives. You know a good statement that everybody makes? I hear more times, and I can't tell you how often I hear, God helps all those who help themselves. Y'all probably said that too. I've said it. God helps those who help themselves. I had to say it in a southern accent. I don't know why. Do you know that is the essence of control? You will find that statement nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. God helps those who can't help themselves. That's why I sent Jesus Christ. Because the world could not help themselves. The world could not get out of our calamity. So God sent Jesus Christ because we can't help ourselves. Now, there are things in our lives God expects us to do. But guess what? It's us and God, not you. It's not just you. It's not the you show. It's not the Jim show. It's the God show. And I just happen to be part of it. See, we got to relinquish control. Because here's what I know. When we trust God, listen to this. Isaiah 49:23 says, those who wait for me. You know, waiting takes trust. Husbands, boyfriends, guys, you know that you trust your wife that she's going to get ready sometime this century. Okay? You trust that when you walk out the door, you won't be too late. Waiting takes trust. Okay? Now, but see, it says, but listen to the second part of this. When you wait upon the Lord, you will not be disappointed. When you wait upon God, and when you put that trust in God, when you know and you have confidence that God is going to do what he says, he's going to come through, you will never be disappointed. And you're like, but God says, you will not be disappointed. And I'm going to tell you, when we believe in this life, when we work in this life, when we do everything our own strength, our own power, we're oftentimes disappointed, aren't we? Like things just seem like they're not what they should be. Things are a little bit short. Things are not as far that I believe. I heard God in this way. Why haven't I seen it yet? Because we're doing it under our own power because we don't trust God enough to give him control of our lives. And if we do, we will not be disappointed. And I'm going to tell you, waiting takes trust, doesn't it? And the longer I have to wait, the more trust I need. A couple years ago, I spoke a message that says the difference between when you ask God for something and when you get it is faith. That distance between when you ask and you get. Okay, that's faith. And the longer it is, the more faith you need. Faith transitions as trust. So get this. When I get on my knees and I say, God, please, God, do this, the time I pray to the time I see it in my life, there's trust. And the longer the distance, the more trust I need. And what our problem is some of us want to say, God, I waited 5 minutes. I'm all right. I'm good. I'm moving on. And God's like, you know what? You waited for waited five minutes for a 5-year blessing. He said, no, we got to wait till God's ready to release it. Till God's ready. Things we won't want to trust him. We're impatient. I remember when my kid was young. I think Gabrielle was under a year old. And she, you know, her arm is missing bones out of it. And she's got to do a lot of things. And I remember they were going to put her in an MRI. You know, the MRI where it goes, and it takes pictures of your bones. Well, for an under, a 1-year-old and under, that's scary. So they were like, we're going to put IV in her, knock her out. I'm like, oh, so I got to trust this doctor. Okay? And they kept trying to put the IV in, and the vein kept collapsing. My trust is waning in this doctor. I want to smack this doctor in the throat. Oh, you know you all thought it once. You all think you're holy, whatever. Here's the thing. But the vein keeps clapping, and I'm like freaking out. This is my kid. Doctor, I trust you, and you're not doing your job. And all of a sudden, he says, we're going to put it through her head. You're going to what? When they said we're going to put the IV in her head, remember that? Yeah, they put the IV in her. And I'm sitting there grabbing onto the chair. I'm like, you better not hurt my kid. And I got to trust them, and I'm fighting the trust. But I know that they have to do this, and I know it's going to take a while, and they took her away, and I'm like, I'm freaking out. I'm like, they killed my baby. And I'm freaking, I couldn't sit still. I was going around. The longer I waited, the harder it got. But she came back fine. And they had all these pictures of her arm and what was wrong with her. And the trouble spot of that, the hardest part was the waiting part. Because I had to trust that they were taking care of my kid, and I wasn't allowed back there. Guys, God is taking care of your promise. God is taking care of your issues. God is taking care of that. Hear what I'm saying. We're so struggling that God's not there. God's not there. God's never left. God was in your issue before you were born. And God is holding your promise. So let him have your promise. Because I promise you, I'm telling you, is that when God says, I will, it's going to happen. But guess what? You've got to step out of the way. Because as long as I'm going to have control and I want to wrestle you for it, you know, Proverbs tells me that man frustrates the plans of God. And if I'm going to wrestle God for this because I don't trust him, what should have been in your life 5 years ago may take 50 years to get. What should have taken the children of Israel 12 days to get to the promised land took them 40 years. Why? Because they didn't trust that God knew what he was doing. So where are you today? Where is your thing? Where do you trust God? Because they're going to tell you that God wants you to trust him. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now all the glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely." That's a big word, right? "Infinitely more than we ask or even can think." Infinitely. But guys, I got to tell you, you got to stop and you've got to trust God. You got to trust him. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes God does things in your life like, man, I would have never seen that. I would have never thought that. That's kind of just weird. And God did that. And he says, look, "But in all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path." Can I say this? That word acknowledge actually comes from a word, yada. I like that word. I just like saying that, yada. Yada. It's a word that means acknowledge, but that word, actually the root of that word means to recognize who he is in the situation and then do it. And then do what he's saying. So look, if you trust in the Lord with all of your heart, okay, and you lean not on your own thinking, your own cleverness, your own wit, your own wisdom, you lean not on your own understanding, in all of your ways, recognize God in all things and then do what he says and he will direct your path. You know, there's another verse that says he'll make crooked roads straight. Last time I checked in my life, sometimes I have a mountain in front of me and I don't know how I'm going to get around this mountain. God's like, I'm going to remove the mountain. He's like, if you just trust me, then I got to challenge you. And you ready for the challenge? Here's the challenge. How can we trust God to remove a giant in our life when we can't trust God to bring in provision every day? How can we ask God to remove giants in our lives if we can't trust God for everyday blessings? Because we all preach and scream and shout, praise God, let's kill the giant. Let's be the generation of Davids that kill the giant. But we struggle when we can't find the bills to pay, the money to pay the bills. We struggle when somebody's sick and we're like, they're just sick and I got to do all this stuff and we struggle. God, where were you? Where are you? God's like, I've never left. If you want mountain moving, mountain giant killing faith and trust in your life, then you've got to trust him for the small things first. You've got to build it up. You've got to let him take you to places that you've never dreamed. But it all starts with trusting God. You know, I recently hit this issue up in my life. I think it was the beginning of June. And I remember I was talking to an individual, and I was like, you know what? We're talking about the goodness of God. And everybody's like, yeah, we talk about the goodness of God. And then shifted to finances. And I made this statement that actually kind of shocked me. I said, I don't trust God in my finances. I was like, wait, did I just say that? But I'm the pastor. Pastors aren't supposed to say that. Why didn't you stop me? You know? You got to blame the wife, right? Why did you stop me? It's your fault. No, but I realized something, that I didn't trust God, and I don't even know where that came from. Maybe it came with people leaving, maybe it came with pain, maybe it just came with all the stuff that I've been going through in my life, but I used to have, now if you have an issue and you need prayer, I will pray the paint off walls for you. You will come in this way and you'll leave another way. I'm going to pray until something changes. If you're somebody who wants to sit down and we want to talk about the Bible, I will help you find Jesus. But then I'm sitting here in this one issue and I'm like, God, where are you? I'm struggling with this issue. But I realize I can give some things to God, but I haven't given everything. That God wants all of my life, but I've only given part of my life. And God's like, I'm waiting for the rest. He's patient. God, thank God he's patient because he needs me. I'll tell you what. But I realize that we need to give God all of our lives. You see that verse up there that we put up there? Here's what we would say if it was just us. If we changed the Bible to our own way. Now, by no means is this gospel. No means is this thing. But this is what we say. Trust in the Lord with some of your heart. Lean on your own understanding. In some of your ways, acknowledge him, and you can make your own way strength. Isn't that how we live our lives? It's funny because we like, oh, look, we can see it now. But the truth of the matter is this is how we live our lives. This is a reflection of who we are because we're control freaks. God, I'll give you 1 hour on Sunday, but you ain't getting a quiet time this week. God, I will interact with the church through Facebook, but I ain't giving to the church. God, I will show up once a month to church, but God, you, that's all you getting from me. We compromise with God, and God's like, I want all of you. I want every part of you. If you trust me in these things, your life will be different. Because isn't it we do? We get on our face. God, change me, make me different, help me, deliver me, whatever. And God's like, I will, just trust me. Just come to the place to trust me. But we don't. We struggle. We struggle with this. And I'm going to tell you, God is ready to be past that. I'm going to give you two quick things on how to build trust. Okay, can we do that? Good. See, at least somebody's excited today. One down, however many else to go. Didn't you know that we wait every time? I'll be like, we'll be here another 3 hours until I make sure all y'all get it. Y'all, mutiny. Here's the thing. The first thing is we remember what God has done. We remember what God has done. We're forgetful people, aren't we? Children of Israel forget. They saw the heavens come down and the fire from the sky and all this other stuff. And the firstborn be killed. And they were like, send us back to Egypt. Because they forgot what God did. He provided quail. He provided water. And they keep forgetting. Man, I tell my staff here, text me, because I ain't going to remember anything you said. They all see the true story. Yeah. I'm telling you. We forget. We're forgetful. And then I think about this. And the story I told you earlier, I said, me not believing God in my finances is just dumb. I've seen God break through. I've seen God give me cars. I've seen God bring up groceries. I've seen God, all of that. Why am I not believing him now? Because I sit here in my own self and I forget what he's done. And here's what the Bible says. Psalm 105, 4 and 5. Seek the Lord with his strength. And his strength. Seek his presence continually. It's not a one-time event. Seek him continually. Here it goes. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he's under. Guess what, guys? You need to remember what he's done in order to build trust in what he's going to do. Because I'm going to tell you, Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow, right? Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Didn't it say that? Here's the deal. God works in patterns. If God's delivered you before, God will deliver you again. It may not be the same way, but if you read the New Testament, Jesus healed, right? He never healed the same way, but he healed. Jesus is going to provide for you in your life. It may never be the same way, but it will be provision. Guess what? If God has done it, since he doesn't change, he's going to do it again. So when I'm struggling with trust, when I'm struggling with those issues, I go back to the places I met God in this area of my life. I go back to the places where I said, this is how God moved in this similar situation, and I wait to see what God's going to do. And it's easier if you have a prayer journal. There's a practical little thing right there for you, a little tidbit. You have to have a prayer journal or something. Because again, short pencil, better than a long memory. Okay? Write these things down. If God's done something to deliver you, to set you free, write it down. And when you're struggling your most, saying, God, I trust you, but I don't trust you. I trust you, but I don't trust you. And you're just freaking out. Go back to your prayer journal and say, I remember on this day of such and such that God will do this, that God did this. So I can have faith in here because God did this. Because we're waiting for God to mess up. You know what we say? We say, God, if you'll do this, then I will trust you, don't we? God, if you'll set me free, I'll trust you. If you deliver me, if you pay my bills, I'll trust you. And God's like, you need to trust me if you want me to move in those areas. Trust me first, because what does the Bible tell me in Romans? That we live this life through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? Faith equates to trust. So you need to remember what God has done and trust him that he's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. The last one, and this one comes struggles. For some, because it deals with pride. It says, be honest. Be honest before God with your trust issues. Be honest before God with your trust issues. You know what? Honesty is like therapeutic. The more honest I am, the better I feel. And I'm going to tell you something that may shatter your thoughts here. You ready for this? God knows it already. Why are you trying to hide it from him? He's already known, so just be honest with him. He doesn't struggle at your struggles. He doesn't look at you and say, I didn't see that coming. No, he knows, so you need to be gut-wrenching honest with him. You know, and all the struggles with doubt, I struggle sometimes. You know, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I don't struggle. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I don't have my issues. And I'm sitting there like, God, how am I supposed to get through this? And I struggle. And he's like, just be real before me, and I'll take care of it. There's a story about a guy in the Mark 9. He had a son who was demon-possessed, and the kid kept throwing himself in there. The demons kept taking him over and throwing himself in the fire. And he comes to Jesus, and he says these words. He says, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus is like, if you can? Jesus said, what? Everything is possible for one who believes. Everything is possible for one who trusts. Everything is possible if you put your faith in Jesus. But then he says this. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, there's such honesty here. I believe. I do believe. Now help me with my unbelief. I believe. Now help me with my unbelief. God, I believe for you in my finances. Now help me with the parts that I don't believe. God, I believe you're going to take my relationship and restore it. Now help me to get through the unbelief of what I'm seeing. God, I really believe that you're going to heal me, but help me because I can't see it right now. I have doubt. I don't have the faith right now, so help me. And be honest in those things. And you know what? Jesus didn't tell him and say, you're just dumb, go away. Come back when you have more faith. No, he didn't say that. What did he say? He said he brought the kid and he healed him. He delivered him. Go through and read the rest of that verses. He set that kid free. He took that guy at his doubt and he said, you know what? I'm going to, and this is just a transition. It was like God was saying, I'm going to show you in front of your face what I can do with someone who's just honest before me. And he delivered his kid right there. And it was done. It was a done deal. Because he was honest and God honored his honesty. Guys, for so long, and I want you to check in for a minute. For so long, you have been told that you have to be strong. You have been told that you have to keep up this front. That you can't be weak. That you can't cry. That you can't find this just breakdown. Somebody's depending on you. I'm going to tell you, you got this front up, but all the way inside you're struggling and you're falling apart. You're falling to pieces. If you trust God with your heart, God will restore your heart. Stop being strong. I remember one time I was like, all this stuff was happening and people were in the hospital and this was happening, this was happening. You ever go through that life where everything just seems to hit all at once? And God said this to me, put this on my heart. And this blew me away and it still hits me. He says, your whole life you've had to be strong for everyone else. He says, you don't have to be strong for me. You don't have to be strong for me. He says, be weak. As a matter of fact, Corinthians tells me what? It says, in my weakness, God's power is perfected. So when I'm weak before God, when I'm honest before God, his power shines brightly. It's like a star. You know the stars in the sky? Do you know they're actually out all day long? The only reason you can't see them is because the light's on. Sometimes we've got to go through dark struggles in our life trusting God so that people can see the light that's really inside of us. People can see the light. Here's the thing. I want to end with this. The deal is this. As I was praying and as I was preparing for this message, I had this image that came to my heart. And when I was sitting there praying, it was like a baby. And the baby was beaten. And the baby was broken. And everybody was walking around this baby. And you know that the baby wanted them to help. And everybody wanted to help them. You know, there was this thing, but they couldn't help. Because they were all in the situation. They're all in the same situation. And then I saw Jesus coming in. And scooping that baby up and just saying, trust me, I will change your life. Guys, that baby was some of us in here, maybe all of us. You've been through so much hurt in your life. You've been through so much pain, so much loss, so much rejection. And all we can do is just lie on the floor, cuddled up in a fetal position, saying, God, I don't know what to do. Somebody please help me. And all along, Jesus is coming in and saying, I'm here to help. But you've got to trust me first. You've got to trust me. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Some of you in here may not know Christ as your Savior. The first thing that I'm going to invite you is to trust God with your salvation, with your soul. The Bible tells me that Christ went to the cross, that he died a brutal death, that he was raised from the dead, so that we can find forgiveness and relationship with God. Some of you guys have not taken that first step, maybe. I just want to offer this with every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're somebody who has not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to take that step today, if you'll raise your hand to where I can see it, I'll acknowledge it, and then we'll pray together. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for today. The message of trust in you is the most important message in the Christian faith. It leads us to salvation. It leads us to deliverance. It leads us to you. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you would enter into the hearts of each and every person. That, Lord, you would help us find forgiveness, find release, and find peace. God, we thank you that you're active. We thank you that you're here. And we thank you that you never leave us alone. So, Father, as we go through our week, help us see you in everyday things. Help us know you. Help us trust you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, God.